Blog Talk Radio.
A pleasant good evening to you once again. You're in tune to the Bible Coach, and I'm your host, MD Washington. I want to thank you again for joining tonight as we continue to go into the Word of God and just to find out the instructions that God would have us to know for such a time, hour as this, as we know that that our Lord has promised that soon and very soon He would come. And so we do well to be about our Father's business and to continue in the word that we have received from Him. And so tonight we are just going to have an exciting time as we study the Word of God together, believing that God is going to pour out His Spirit upon us so that we might have the anointing to do the will and the purpose and plan of God. The Holy Spirit is always available to us to instruct us and give us an understanding of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will not speak of Himself, but He will always point to Jesus. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He will lift up Jesus. Jesus says that if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto me. And so we can expect that God will use Christ to draw us closer to Him, and the Holy Spirit will point to Jesus as our only hope out of this world that we live in. Tonight we are talking on the subject, does your church have impact? Does your church have impact? And of course, we're going to explore and get deep into this subject matter so that God will help us to understand perhaps our role as the body of Christ. God is trying to deliver and give us strength, give us instructions, give us a foundation that we can stand upon. And tonight we're going to explore some of the tools that Jesus gave His disciples and how you and I as believers can access some of the same tools that they were given. And let me just go ahead and put this out there that when we're talking on the level of about church, we're not talking about the church building. We're talking about the living, breathing church, the members who make up the church. And that's going to be our focus tonight. So let's go to God in prayer as we seek His face. Father, we thank You so much for such an opportunity to come together in this format of Blog Talk Radio to share Your word with Your children. And we call upon the Holy Spirit to teach us, instruct us, give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding so that we might be real careful to give You the praise, the glory, the honor that's due to Your name. We continue to seek Your face because we believe that healing shall come to the body of Christ. Those who are sick and feeble among us, God, we know that You can restore them and strengthen them and give them victory over everything that they have to overcome. Lord, we're praying that Your Spirit will go out and touch the lives of everyone that will hear this broadcast, whether they listen to it live or they listen to the archive. Lord, I pray that Your Spirit will always flow with us and continue to keep us in Your care. But we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen again. Again, thank you, my friends, for tuning in. Again, we're talking on the subject. Get you something to write with. Grab your Bibles because I use a lot of scripture because I want you to know that the more verse you are in the Word, the more places that you can find out where the Word is, it's going to establish you. It's going to help you to build a stronger relationship with God. And so prepare yourself. Always grab something to write with and grab your Bible. I challenge you to always, wherever you're going to hear a minister, whether it's an evangelist, a preacher, or teacher, or a prophet, or whoever it is, an apostle, a bishop, whoever it is that you're going to hear, make sure that you grab your Bible and have something to write with at all times. You want to have a notepad. You want to take some notes. And it's up to you to make sure that you are researching the texts that have been shared or given so that you might get further clarity on it. And I encourage you that every time you open up the Word to study, always invite the Holy Spirit to teach you. Do not grab the Bible and start just reading without asking for the Holy Spirit to teach you. The enemy sometimes will slip into some people's study, and he will cause confusion as you are trying to digest some of the things that are in the Word of God. There are some things that are very hard to understand. There are some things that are easy to understand. And so you have to grow to that ability to be able to discern what the Word of God is saying. So tonight our subject is, does your church have impact? Does your church have impact? And then a sub thought here is, are you growing by what you are eating at your church? Are you growing by what you're eating at your church? Are you growing by what you're eating at your church? Does your church have impact? Well, I want you to first follow me over to Luke. Matthew chapter 16, Matthew the 16th chapter, and we're going to look at verse number 18. Jesus has been speaking to his disciples, and they have come to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, who do men say that the Son of Man am? In verse number 13, Jesus poses this question to his disciples, and he asked them, who do men say that the Son of Man am? So oftentimes in the body of Christ, there are those who know of the Lord Jesus Christ in various different ways. They know what they have heard grandmama say or grandpa say. They've heard what mama said or brother said or sister said. And so Jesus poses this question to his disciples, who do men say that the Son of Man am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. It's an interesting thought here that not many people will know your true identity until they get to a place where they come closer to you and they begin to see who you are really in the body of Christ. There are some ministers and preachers and teachers and past apostles and prophets. They emulate some other person so much so till some people can get confused in thinking that perhaps you may be John the Baptist or you may be Elijah or you may be Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Some people have a view already of who you are or what category you fit in or what kind of minister you are, and so they link you and associate you with somebody else. And verse 15 says, and he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And here is the most personal question that can be answered and be asked is, who do you think that Jesus is? Who is he to you? Not what he is to grandmama, not what he is to grandpa, but who is he to you? Who is this Jesus? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Christ is the God or the Son of the living God. There's a living God that we serve. And so he says in verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. There is some revelatory knowledge that God will dump into your mind, but it will line up with the Word of God. If you have a private revelation that does not line up with the Word of God, I would encourage you to dismiss it and do not try to fit what you have thought or in your head. Don't try to make the Bible line up with what you said, but you come in agreement and align up with the Word of God. So be careful that sometimes we have to be careful because the enemy will test us. He will try to whisper stuff in our minds. And so he says, and I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So here, Jesus tells Peter that Peter, upon this rock, upon this foundation, upon the thought that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, because you understand this, it is upon me, upon this foundation, that you're going to build the church. I tell you, my friends, there are those who have turned the gospel of Jesus Christ from the living God, and they have placed it upon the pastor, upon the minister, upon the teacher, the preacher, the evangelist, the bishop, and all of that. And if we get so caught up into making that particular pastor or minister the center of attention in the church, and we lose sight of Jesus, that's our fault. We must, and pastors, you must encourage the congregation not to look so much to you, but to look to Christ, because Christ is the foundation of the church. He is where this rock that we're going to build and establish the church and the body of Christ on. And then Jesus says, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. You have the keys to the kingdom. God has placed the keys of the kingdom in your hands so that you might open to the body of Christ the Word of God, so that they may have the tools that they need in order for them to grow by what you're feeding them. God wants you to first of all, understand that the very premise and the basics of making your church to have an impact is understanding that first Christ is the foundation for the body of Christ. Keep your finger, or we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 1, because the apostles understood what their role was. They also understood what the role of Christ is. In Ephesians chapter 1, and looking at verse number 22, now we can go up a little further than that. Well, let's go to verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 1. He says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul is addressing the Ephesus church, and he's talking to them, and he says in verse 17, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, So here again, the center of the church, the foundation of what you're going to build ministry upon, if your church is going to have an impact upon the lives of those who come into the body of Christ, whether they come from the street, whether they come from your home, wherever they come from, if your church is going to have some impact in the lives of believers, they must come to understand that we must give on, that God is going to give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of Him. The more understanding that you have of Jesus and a personal relationship that you gain for Jesus, you're going to discover that you're going to get deeper into Him. In verse 18, it says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints." So you're going to know and understand why you have been called out. You have been called out of darkness into this marvelous light. God has enlightened your heart, your mind, your soul, your spirit to understand the richness that is found in Christ Jesus, that as you understand more about Him, it's going to be like you are inheriting the kingdom. The glory of God is going to fall afresh upon you. You are going to know who you are and who you represent. And so he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. So God has some power that He's going to transfuse in your life that gives you the ability to stand in His stead as children on a strong foundation. He says, "The wise man built his house upon a rock, but the foolish man built his house upon the sand. And when the rains came and the winds blew it, it blew upon both of the houses, whether it was a house that was on a rock or a house that was on the sand. You can rest assured that the storm is going to come your way. It doesn't matter, but the mighty power of this thing is that because you have established yourself upon a strong foundation, because the enemy is going to throw every wind of doctrine at you. Every wind of doctrine is going to come your way, and it's going to confuse those who have not made their calling and election sure, those who have not decided that come what will or may, I'm going to serve the Lord and live for Him because He is the one who is the author and the finisher of my faith." And this is the foundation that we must be upon. And then verse 20 says, "Which He had wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places." God would have it that your mind will sit in heavenly places, that your mind would go beyond the temporal things of this world and begin to grasp hold of the revelation of who Jesus is. He is our high priest. He is the one who is interceding on our behalf, so that by the time that we come to the conclusion of our life, he can say to you and I, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." And so Jesus has been placed in a position that is far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and had put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church. So Jesus is the head of the church. It's not your pastor. It is not your bishop. It is not your evangelist, your teacher. He is not the head of the church. She is not the head of the church. Christ is the head of the church. And we are the under-shepherds who have been given this calling to operate and function in Him, which is His body, the fullness of Him that fill it all in all. So here is the conclusion. He says, okay, Christ is the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that fill it all in all. So If you're going to be filled up with the right stuff, you're going to have to be filled up with what Christ is feeding us through his word. Pastors, teachers, evangelists, apostles, prophets, all of us must come to the place where everything that we speak lines up with the word of God. You are responsible for feeding the sheep. God has given you a position to feed his people, and you must feed them the right stuff, not your opinions, not what you think it ought to say, but what it is in Christ Jesus. This is the true foundation of the gospel, is holding fast the profession of the faith that is in Christ Jesus, locking people in, rooting them and grounding them in the word of God. This is what's going to make the difference in the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. So here, if you're going to be saved, it is going to be through Christ. Christ has said that I came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the mission of the body of Christ, is to seek and to save that which is lost. You can't have a lost sheep, a sheep that has gone from your flock, and you don't have no earthly ideal, or you haven't had enough compassion to find out where that missing person is. Brothers and sisters who are of the household of faith, God is holding us responsible for finding those who have gone astray, those who have lost their way, to a parable trying to show us there was a lost corn, there was a lost sheep, there was a lost son, and in every situation there was a diligent search to find that which is lost. And God is saying to you and I, we must be a part of the body of Christ. We must have this hunger and thirst after souls. We must be about our Father's business. We must have the heart to constantly go after the people of God who have gone astray. And then there is opening the doors for those who have talents and gifts, pastors, ministers, and teachers. It's so important that we don't get so caught up into just building the church from within. There is so much ministry that is on the outside of the church, which brings us to our subject, does your church have impact? You may be impacting the people that are inside of the building, but what is your standing in the community that you are residing in? Do people really truly know who you are? Do the people really care what you're doing in your house? This is very important for us because in Luke chapter 14, Jesus goes into a parable, and verse number 15 of Luke chapter 14, and he said, "And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man had made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. Pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. So the Lord says to you and I that, look, I have made a big feast. I've made and given you an opportunity and an invitation to come and sit with me and fellowship with me and eat from my table, because what I got to give you, it is worth eternal, it has eternal dividends. It goes beyond not only this present world, but the world to come. And so I'm bidding you to come on in, that my house may be filled. And so he tells his servants to go out into the highways, into the hedges, and compel men to come in, that my house may be filled. And here is the compelling part of the ministry of Christ. It is what is going to cause the church to have impact, that when it moves outside of the walls of the building and go out into the highways, into the hedges, and began to compel men to come in, and this great argument that we have for the gospel is a compelling lifestyle. When our lives line up with the foundation of Jesus Christ, and we begin to get wrapped up in and into Him, and we lose ourselves in Him, then the mighty power of God will begin to rest upon us so strongly that our lives become a compelling argument for the gospel of Jesus Christ. People will note that you have been with Jesus. People will read your life, because He says that you are a living epistle. And people read your character. They read who you are. They read who you are associated with. They know that there's something different about you. They may not put their finger on it, but they know that there is a sweet, sweet spirit in your life. It is not a thing that they're commonly understanding and they're commonly aware of, until they come and they meet you, who has this compelling lifestyle that's so full of the Spirit and so full of love that it compels men to come in. At the very beckoning of your words, they come in. I tell you, Matthew chapter 4, and verse number 19, verse 18 of chapter 4 of Matthew, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting to the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And so here Christ tells him and these two brethren that I'm choosing you. I am selecting you. Many are called, but few are chosen. And so Christ has chosen these two disciples, and he says, you follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. See, in this big world that we live in, there are all types of people. There are all types and varieties of cultures and languages and all of this. And so a fisherman who is a fisherman of the Lord Jesus Christ has to understand something about the fish that he's fishing for. And so Jesus says that, look, I'm going to take that skill and knowledge that you have for fishing in the sea, and I'm going to take your same skills and I'm going to utilize them for the body of Christ. And so I want you to know that I'm calling you out of this thing not to change your profession, but to change your direction. So God says that I'm choosing you to do something that you have a passion for, because, see, if you have a passion for fishing, he says that I want you to transfer that same passion that you have for doing this thing for yourselves to doing something for me. And that is, I want you to be a fisherman of men. And so I want you to be on my team. And so I'm calling you out to come to be a part of my team. Oh, what a joyful and awesome responsibility that God has granted to all of those who have been called out and those who have been chosen for the purpose of operating in the word and the will of God. He tells them to follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, pastors, teachers, preachers, evangelists, apostles, bishops, if you will follow him, you will have a congregation that will follow him. The impact of your church is going to be measured by our ability to feed the sheep and to fish for those who are outside of the household of faith. God has a mission, and he has given the church a responsibility to be fishermen of men. And then over in the book of John, chapter 21, Jesus just wants us to understand whether he gives us all of these different illustrations and different parables so that we might come to understand as the body of Christ that you have a mission, you have a plan, you have a purpose for your existence, the way that you're going to impact the people of God and your church. Does it have impact? John chapter 21, verse 15 says, Peter, after he had made the announcement that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and after he said he would follow the Lord and he denied Christ three times, Christ had to come to him after he was resurrected and talk to Peter. And so when in verse 9, number 15, verse 15 of John chapter 21, and when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. And he said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. And he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? Every time that we deny the Lord and every time that we go astray from him, here is the question that he poses to you and I: do you love me? Do you really love me? Do you love me? And if you do love me, then this is my call to you, is to feed my lambs, to feed my sheep. And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou goest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. I want you to understand that no matter where you have gone or where you have fallen to, if you will allow God to to rebuke us and chastise us and give us the direction that we need. And if we would stop depending upon ourselves and depending upon him, he says, follow me, to encourage us to follow him. And I will make you fishers of men. God has placed the body of Christ in such a particular place and in such a way that our lives should have influence upon the territory that we're in. God is expecting that you are going to bear fruit. He is expecting that there is going to come something out of this particular church that's going to impact all of the surrounding area that you are operating in. Your church should have some impact in that area. Amen. And so over in Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and starting at verse number 27, it says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God had set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles, or all prophets, or all teachers, or all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? But then he says this, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. The excellent way that God wants to share with the body of Christ that it's going to have an impact is that all of these particular gifts and talents and the diversities of gifts in the church is for the purpose of perfecting the ministry. And let me say to the leadership, you must allow those gifts to flow in the church. Otherwise, your church is going to be lacking. It's going to have some sickness in the body. When your leadership does not allow the functioning of the gifts that is oftentimes found in the members. Verse number 27 says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. So he has members that are in the body of Christ that has particular gifts. There's some that are apostles, some prophets, and some teachers, and some gifts of healing. All of these are for the purpose of the whole entire church. He says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you excellent way. The gifts of the Spirit are not for the purpose of honoring or making you to be big-headed. The gifts of the Spirit is not for the purpose of somehow you depending or acting as if though these gifts are something that you came up with. As you operate in the gifts of the Spirit, you must continue to honor and glorify God and give yourself over to him wholly and unreservingly, because if you do not, you will begin to become a worker of iniquity. Jesus says that there will be some who will call on me in the last days, saying, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and done many wonderful works in your name? And he says, depart from me, I don't know you. Do not allow yourselves to get so caught up in the gifts of the Spirit. I would rather see you get so caught up in the fruit of the Spirit that you lose yourself all in the fruit of the Spirit, because if you have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. When you have these, the fruit of the Spirit operating in you, you have a compelling argument for the gospel. You have the power of impact, because the fruit of the Spirit is operating in you. The fruit of the Spirit is one fruit, even though it's particular parts of the fruit. See, the tree of life has 12 manner of fruit on one tree, and the fruit of the Spirit has all of this fruit that's encapsulated, if you will, in this one particular fruit. It will change your life forever. It will change your life in a way that God's Spirit will flow upon you. In fact, Acts chapter 2, and looking at verse number 47, because the question tonight is, does your church have impact? And this is what's going to happen when the church begins to have impact. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 47 simply says, they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I love this here, because in verse 45 it says, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the men, all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. When the church begins to have truly an impact, it's going to begin to add to the body of Christ daily, which means then that these were true fishermen's men. They didn't only fish on Monday or Tuesday. They fished the whole week through. Amen. They were always on a mission to seek and to save that which was lost. They had a particular attitude that I'm determined not to know anything save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That all of the things that I could gain in this world, I count them as dung. There's not anything that is more important than this mission that I have, that's burning in my heart, that will not let me sit down, this love that I have for people that I want to see them saved. That if it costs me some sacrifices, if it costs me some trouble, if it costs me having to go through a little persecution, it was worth it in their eyes to go through all of that, even being crucified upside down. If this would bring glory to God, then let me do this thing. If I have to go into the fiery furnace, that God may get some glory. If I have to go into the lion's den, that God may get some glory, then so let it be. Let it be, let it be. This is what these men, women who had come to have a relationship with the Lord. This is why they had impact. This is why the church was being added upon daily. The Lord was adding to the body of Christ daily, because they lost themselves in, they had determined not to know anything save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This is what causes impact, and the way in which we become impact is that we are growing, because we're eating the right stuff, we're eating the right food, we're growing. We're growing from babes in Christ, because we are born again. We must crawl a little bit. We must walk a little bit until we are able to run this race with patience. God will put it so that in your spiritual development that you will have a connection with him at every stage of your life, that you will be connected to him in such a way that you are going to have an impactful life as you live for him. The enemy will come in various forms and various ways to take you off track. And so Jesus shares with us in the book of Revelation, the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, we see Jesus talking to the seven churches, because the seven churches had a particular characteristic that will follow the body of Christ down through the ages of time. There are oftentimes times that we will experience certain things in our Christian walk. And so there were more churches that were in Asia than these seven churches, but these seven churches have been identified because they have particular characteristics that are true for the body of Christ even to this day, that there are certain things about us that sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll be like the Ephesus church who lost their first love or left their first love. In verse 4, it says, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love." When we lose or leave our first love for the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes we come into the body of Christ, we're on fire for the Lord, and all of a sudden there's this settling in and there's this sitting down. And pastors and preachers and teachers, I must warn you, if you have a member that has a fire for the Lord Jesus Christ, don't extinguish the fire. Add another log on the fire and let the Holy Ghost work in their lives and operate in their lives to the intent that they too become impactful to the church for the ministry. Revelation chapter 1, Jesus meets John on the Isles of Patmos, and he tells him that behold, he says, I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and of death. Jesus is helping him to see who he is. In verse number 17 of Revelation chapter 1, when I saw him, John says, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. It starts with Jesus. It ends with Jesus. And your life, it starts with Jesus. The foundation of your relationship with Jesus is going to be what's going to hold you and ground you in the church, in the body of Christ. Is when you are connected to Jesus, when you don't get your eyeballs locked up on anybody else but Jesus. Let Jesus be the leader of your life so that as he leads you and as you follow him, you are going to gain revelation knowledge of him. He is going to pour out his spirit upon you, and you are going to be anointed to teach and to preach and to share, and to, whether it's just sharing your testimony, that where you were blind, now you see. Where I was sick in my body, but now I'm healed. Whatever your testimony is, God says, just share that thing. Share what great thing that God has done for you. And verse 18 says, and I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and amen, and have the keys of hell and death. And he says, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. And then he begins to show him the mystery, because John sees Jesus in verse 12 with the, he says he saw him with the seven golden candlesticks. and in his right hand he had seven stars. And so when we get to the verse 20, Jesus explains what the seven golden candlesticks are, and he explains to us what the seven stars are. So he says, the mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, he says the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. The angels of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him. The angels of the Lord are ministering spirits that are sent forth to those that shall be heirs of salvation. Every church is going to have an angel that is going to be looking for those who are heirs of salvation. And so, preacher, let me tell you that the impact of your church is going to be dependent upon if your members in your body has a compelling relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not so much of a relationship with you, but have you introduced them to Jesus, and have they fallen in love with Jesus? Because when you fall in love with Jesus, it's going to be the best thing that you have ever done. Because when you love Jesus, Jesus makes some ways for you. The seven stars are the seven angels in the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So Jesus has the seven stars in his right hand, and he's in the midst of the seven churches. Jesus is in the center of the seven churches. He's in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. He's in the center of the church. When the church allows Jesus to continue to be the center of attention, they will have an impact. But if you allow Jesus to move from the center of your church and the center of, or the midst of your life, whenever Jesus is not your focus, whenever Jesus is not the center of your attention, you are going to leave your first love. Just like the Ephesus church. On down to the Revelation chapter 3, which is the Laodicean church, who had a false understanding of who they are because they were blinded by their riches. There were some people who will get so caught up into the money-making thing that they lose sight of Christ. So they become cold. They become lukewarm. They're neither hot or cold. They're lukewarm. God says that you're a bad taste to me. I will spit you out of my mouth. We don't know whose side you're on. You're trying to be straddle the fence. And so God is saying that, look, I need you to really understand your true condition in verse 17 of chapter 3, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, and that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. God says that, look, I want you, if you fall in this category, I want you to be zealous and repent. Repent, he says, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him. Notice that Jesus is calling he says, if any man hear my voice, which means he's knocking on the door of your life. And particularly, he is knocking on the door of the church. He was in the center of the church in Revelation chapter 1. But by the time we get to Revelation chapter 3, Jesus is standing on the outside of the door of the church, and he's knocking. He's knocking on the door of the church. Does your church have impact? Does your church have impact? Are you growing by what you're eating at your church? Pastors, apostles, bishops, preachers, teachers, are you feeding the flock? Are you feeding the lambs?
Have you lost sight of the mission that God has called you to? Jesus says that I caution you, I counsel you, buy of me gold tried in the fire. Thou may be rich in white raiment, not rich in the things of this world, but rich in the spiritual things that can bless your life right now and for the life to come. And so Jesus is standing on the outside of the door of the church. He has been knocking on the door of the church. And he asks he calls us by our names. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him. Christ says that I will come in fellowship in your church if you'll just let me in, if you will just open the door. I'm not going to force my way in. I need you to open the door. I'm calling your name. God wants us to be prepared to come into the body of Christ, that our lives will have an impact upon those who we have influence over. Wherever you live, you have an influence in that particular area. Christ says to you and I that I need you to go out into the highways and the hedges and compel man to come in, that my house may be full. The Lord wants his house is full. He wants all of his churches filled. And then there is this personal thing that he says, know ye not that your bodies are the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Ghost? Do you know that the Holy Ghost wants to dwell in us so that we might be able to discern and reason through the scriptures, that we may have revelation of Christ, that we may grow in the knowledge of him to the intent that we understand that our whole lives fitly join to the chief cornerstone? Jesus has given us so many illustrations. He's given us the sheep. He's given us the foundation. He's given us to be fishers of men. He's given us to abide in the vine. All of these are illustrations that are showing and directing us back to the fact that we must be connected to him. If truly you and I are going to have impact and our churches are going to have impact, we must abide in the vine. We must stay connected to Jesus, and don't ever let him go, because if you do, he says, I'm somewhat against you. Nevertheless, I have something against you, and it's because you have allowed yourself to leave your first love. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that if anybody has gone astray, that they would return unto you. And you said you would return unto them. Father, I pray that your people, that our people will hear your voice, that we will humble ourselves, and that we will begin to pray that you will hear from heaven and forgive our sins and heal our land. Lord, I pray that you would heal the territory, the place where every member dwells in, heal that land that the territory that they are dwelling in, and give them victory that overcomes themselves and death. And then, Lord, I pray that you would make them instruments in your hand, that they will have impact on the body of Christ, impact upon the churches, impact in their communities, until we find you saying and hearing your voice saying, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Help us to work and labor as we know that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is soon, and it is high time for the true worshipers to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Lord, help us to be Father's business is my prayer in the name of Jesus, and we ask it all, and we thank you. Amen and amen. God bless you, my friends, and thank you for tuning in. I appreciate your listenership, and I pray that you would continue to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the one who's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his throne with exceeding grace, because he's the only wise God, our Savior, and he is to be glorified because he has dominion both now and forevermore. Have a great night. God bless you.